Listen for Insight, a podcast from Miami University's Lockheed Martin Leadership Institute dedicated to spreading ideas of creativity, innovation, and leadership. Welcome to Listen for Insight. I'm your host, David Turnick. We have for you Sandra Hughes, the CEO and president of Sandra Hughes Strategies LTD, and former executive for Procter & Gamble. She gives her insights on being a strong female in a STEM field while maintaining her femininity. I send you now to our interviewer, Alexa Miller.
Alrighty, Sandy, so you've held several roles professionally, including strategy consultant, corporate executive coach, and philanthropist. How have you adapted your creativity and innovation for each role?
Well, I think first I need to just start with how I got into where I am now, and that started at, you know, my alma mater in yours as well as Miami. So as a systems analysis major, I developed my and honed my skill of curiosity, so questioning the why and how things are, and then connecting the dots to figure things out. And I think that I probably always had that inherent curiosity when I was a kid, you know, with the Lincoln Logs and the erector sets and all of those things. But I noticed that I first had it when I worked in a spark plug factory. So it's a blue-collar town, paying my way through college, so you have a lot of time to ponder things while keeping up with the conveyor belt. You know, so why was this? If we did this, wouldn't this make the thing go faster? And what are those people thinking? So now, you know, when you have those creativity and asking those questions and the innovation, you also need leadership to really get things done. I had a cousin who also liked to, you know, put things together and figure out how they worked, but he would keep making the same mistakes, like putting the screwdriver into an outlet and electrocuting himself, and then he'd do it again. You know, you have to be able to learn from those things. So I think taking those skill sets of curiosity and then the leadership to learn and do things with that, I morphed into a career of business transformation. So in the 36 years I was with P&J, I probably had 22 different assignments where by asking questions and why are things the way they are would help to solve problems, take things to the next level, and maybe into some areas that people hadn't thought of. So, for example, I was part of, you know, a manufacturing startup in Alabama. I was in Germany to fix some issues that they had with losing mid-level technical women. In Brussels, I helped to speed up the package development cycle. What was holding them back? Globally, I got into public policy by helping to solve, well, how could we have had some people who were walking across the gray line when it came to collecting competitive information for our business units? You know, we have a history of doing the right thing. How could this have happened? And then also with my global privacy and ethics and compliance roles, is how could we build in information risk to new initiatives that the brands were thinking of? By asking questions, I would always get into new roles, new ways of doing things, and even in the nonprofit space. So now as the chairperson for Social Venture Partners, you know, we're part of an international network, and we, you know, collectively invest our money and our strategic consulting time in innovative ways to strengthen nonprofits. So it's the inherent curiosity which leads to creativity and innovation, and that combined with leadership, you can apply to any type of role, wherever it is. So those skills stay the same. They continue to learn and develop, but it's continually morphing depending on what the job and the role is.
Yeah, I really like what you said about curiosity and leadership and how that ties in directly to creativity and innovation, and I would completely agree with that. So with that being said, have any specific roles that you've held exceptionally helped you hone that leadership and that inherent curiosity and then translate that into creativity and innovation? And if so, could you maybe elaborate on that?
Yeah, I think it would probably be one of my first assignments a couple years into the company when that manufacturing startup. So this was a new category, a new brand that the company had never been in. And so everyone who was there in Huntsville, Alabama, had the goal to produce this new product, make it a winner, and in a, you know, a new, brand new manufacturing facility complete with cobalt radiation, et cetera, which we had never done before. So everybody was just really energized for that. You needed creativity and curiosity about how are we going to make this work, but then also the ability to, you know, get her done and, you know, muster the resources and the sweat equity to bring those ideas to life. And then we saw it. So within 2 years, this plant was running. There's product coming off the conveyor belt, and you feel that pride that you were part of doing that. So that was something that I continued to pursue throughout my whole career and even after my retirement from P&G.
Very well. So I know you kind of touched on working in Germany with the issue of the company losing mid-level technical women. So obviously receiving a systems analysis degree and becoming a corporate privacy executive, you've had a lot of experience in overcoming gender norms in industry and kind of tackling those issues. So how would you say that doing so has impacted your creativity and innovation personally, and how has that impacted that curiosity and leadership that you touched on before?
Well, I would probably say that I constantly had to use my creativity and innovation on how to break some of those barriers and navigate that, the gender issues to be able to have the success I did. And maybe to tell you a little bit about how I did that, I can give you a little bit of background context. While I was growing up, I got some mixed messages from my home environment. So I got exceptionally good grades. I was good in math and science, but I was also quite shy. So my mother, who had immigrated from Canada to Minneapolis when she was 16 and was a lingerie model for a couple of years to make money before she met my dad, she told me when I was in the seventh grade specifically that I shouldn't tell other my grades because the boys wouldn't like me. She made me walk across the room in her high heels, balancing a book on my head so that I would have poise and confidence in good posture so that I would present myself well. And by the way, I have quite a reputation for shoes even today. So, and doing those things really did make me more popular back then. But we're talking, you know, a way long time ago. And, but the mixed message was that when my parents were determined that I go to college, and even if they had to wash floors. So even though my father did have his own floor covering business, he didn't have to do that, thank goodness, because I got scholarships, I did work study, worked in that spark plug factory that I mentioned before. So I got through in 3 years with no summers working for P&G before I was 21, finally. And I was the first one to get a bachelor's degree in all the generations of my extended family who'd been in the U.S. So that was great encouragement. So I think when I think about it, those mixed messages really helped to hone my creativity and innovation. Because I've never given up my femininity. It's different from being a floozy. So I'm not a floozy, but, you know, my posture, my self-composure that my mother ingrained into me, that when I would go into a room, you know, filled with men, or to lead a meeting or to give a presentation, I would really thrill at bursting their stereotypes by showing that I knew my stuff, I'm not an airhead, and I can get things done. And how did I do that? So lots of times in preparation for those things, I use my curiosity, asking questions, why is this, what is that? Just like you learn that you're supposed to do when you go on a date with a guy, right? By asking questions, you get him to open up. So using those skill sets, then I was able to get information from them, connect the dots, and then come out with ideas and solutions that would become a win-win influence model. And today, so I just finished an engagement with a client where the subject was leadership presence and influence. And through that, you know, one of the things I shared was some of the studies that show that, appearance is important for first impressions, but it's your gravitas, that confidence, the composure under pressure, you know, being able to read a room and your emotional intelligence, that's the secret sauce to really what a lot of top leaders have. So, you know, back in the day when I was first starting, I can remember some women calling me out and saying that I was caving in to stereotypes by embracing my femininity. But I think that that's my authentic self. And when I feel that, I can do anything. So, you know, maybe that's the message, you know, for women. And I'm still continually appalled that the numbers of girls who are going into STEM careers now isn't rising dramatically. And maybe it's because they feel they need to give up their femininity, but I think that instead they should embrace it. And that's what I did. And then combining that with curiosity helps to navigate some of those gender barriers.
And so you kind of talked about how that authentic leadership is really critical for engaging women in engineering, because if they do feel like they have to fulfill any gendered expectations, that can really thwart their interest in the field and also their success as a leader. So with that being said, would you say that there are any gendered expectations surrounding creativity and innovation? And if so, how do you think that those are helping or hurting women in engineering as it pertains directly to that curiosity, that creativity, and that innovation?
Well, I think, and studies show that in lots of cases, women are more creative in innovation because we constantly have those thoughts going back and forth between our left and our right brains. So, you know, the synapses are always going, whereas in men's, sometimes it's not. I mean, they kind of can put things into different boxes, so it comes easier. And I think some ways that, you know, men don't realize that, think, you know, that women can be scatterbrained or things. It might just be that they're thinking as they're, they're talking as they're thinking. And it really is a real skill set that women have that needs to be embraced, and being able to pull that out and put it in the right light, I think, helps to change a lot of those stereotypes and ways that men think about women.
So, Sandra, you mentioned how a lot of times women are connecting the dots from, say, the left and right sides of the brain and just from several different aspects of the scenario. And how would you say that a feeling of imposter syndrome, where women may not feel as qualified as they truly are and may not feel as qualified as men in creativity and innovation, how do you feel like that can thwart what they bring to the table?
Well, what it can thwart is that a lot of great ideas stay suppressed and don't come out that could make things better or make things go faster, that had women be trusting their own true selves and what they're capable of, that, you know, things would be better because they could do that. So they're thwarting not only their own success, but the success of whatever, you know, organization or goal objective that's there, that could be better if they would bring that out.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you had previously touched on the importance of authentic leadership and just holding yourself authentically as a professional. Again, how do you think that that directly impacts creativity and innovation?
Well, I believe that, you know, only by really understanding and believing in yourself can you be open to listening and trusting in others and asking the questions then, because you know where you're coming from and you know yourself, and being open-minded to what others have to say. And it's through that joint creativity and innovation that, you know, great ideas are born and how things happen. But you have to feel strong and authentic and, you know, in yourself first to be able to have that confidence and composure to ask those questions and to bring those things out in others.
Sandra wanted to elaborate on the idea of being authentic to yourself one more time.
Well, one thing I would have to say is this whole aspect of curiosity, which leads to creativity and innovation, and then coming back to the question you had about knowing yourself and being your authentic self, it's a whole lot more fun to be doing that and to, you know, not be afraid to ask those questions and not be afraid to ask the what ifs, you know, for creativity, than it is to keep that all inside and wish that you would have said it later. So, you know, it's more fun. Life's too short to not be enjoying everything that you do. So I think that people should really embrace that and not be afraid to ask those really powerful questions. Hello, my name is Sandra Hughes. I'm the CEO and president of Sandra Hughes Strategies Limited. Since retiring from Procter & Gamble about 4 years ago, I partner with clients to create custom strategies for leadership and personal development that increase their success faster and more robustly than they would on their own. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Listen for Insight, a part of Miami Ideas. Tune in next time for more insights on creativity, innovation, and leadership. Siesta by Gizar is licensed under a attribution.